I won't have you turn there. I think I'll just have you listen here, so you won't read on ahead. You're just going to keep right with me for a few moments. In the book of Matthew, Jesus called 12 disciples. And what he started out to do, and the commission he gave them, and the power he gave them, and the situation they faced, is not at all unlike what we are facing, what we have gone through, and are going through today. And see if we can just draw something out of these perspectives this evening. And when he had called unto him 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Now, many are called, but few are chosen. He called unto him 12 disciples, because these 12 he knew by foreknowledge were willing to follow him. He had marked them out, predestined according to foreknowledge. That is, marked them out because he foreknew that they would serve God. You are here tonight, most of you, because God foreknew that you would serve God. He foreknew that when you were on your Damascus road and the light from God would come down into your soul upon the path of your life, and the Lord Jesus himself would speak to you out of heaven into your own spirit and soul and say, my son, you're persecuting me. You don't know what you're doing. He knew that we would turn around and be a disciple of his. And so he marked us out, or predestined, as the King James Version says, us to this ministry. And you're here because God knew that you would serve him. He knew your weaknesses. He knew your sins. He knew your failings and falterings before he called you. So the fact that you have faltered need not bring you into despair and self-condemnation, for he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And he did not condemn you, but like he said to the woman who had committed adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't say it's all right, doesn't make too any difference. But he said, go and sin no more. But I don't condemn you, I forgive. This is not the age of condemning. And so God has not been condemning us, but he has been saying, go and sin no more. And he gave them power. I want you to know that God gives us power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you shall do nothing with the power but shout in glory. No. And ye shall be my witnesses. You shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall have power to witness. Not only power for witnessing, he didn't say you shall receive power to witness, but you shall receive power and you shall be my witnesses. Which means you shall have power to witness, but the power is to do more than just to witness. It's to keep you alive in God. It's to keep you rejoicing. It's to keep you walking over and above sin. Otherwise, you could say, you would not be able to say, go and sin no more. He gave them power against unclean spirits. Now, there were spirits that he gave power against. There are spirits that's out here in the world tonight. And you say, well, what are we to do with spirits? Well, those kind of spirits you should have nothing to do with. But they are having plenty to do with you. And you have found out that holding the peace daisy up to them doesn't get the effect. It takes two to make peace. And that's why God said, as much as lieth within you, be peaceable with all men. As much as lieth in you, not as much as lieth in you, in him. You can't control him. Now these are unclean spirits. They are unclean. Touch not the unclean thing. Whether it be a dead man, whether it be an animal that is a carnivorous garbage collector picking up rodents with disease and eating them, or whether it be a sorceress or one dealing with unclean spirits or with an unclean spirit himself that would come unto you. When sorcerers dealt with unclean spirits, they called them familiar spirits because they became familiar to them. They kept coming back over and over. Many of us are having familiar spirits visiting us. They keep coming to us over and over, and we recognize them. Oh, hi, it's you again. Yes. And they're lying to us the same as they lie to sorcerers and sorceresses. But he gave us a power against them. We have power against them. Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. Now I submit that rebuking is more than volume. It's more than abracadabra. What were those magic words again, Lord? They're not that. But they deal with an heart that rebukes them. It deals with the power of attorney and faith in God and a knowledge of your authority as a son of God and a recognition of who they are and a decision and understanding and reckoning that they are standing on an opposite side of the chasm as you as an enemy. And that they are destructive, and they must be rebuked, and they must be rebuked in Jesus' name, and you're taking a stand against them, and you will not open a door to them, and so you resist them, and by the spoken word, by faith in the power of God, he comes forth, and even as Jesus stood and said, Ego, am I? Or am I? And they fell backwards as dead men because the Almighty God, who was the I Am, was there when Jesus took the authority and revealed who he was to them. And this word ego means I. So ego, that's I. And interesting enough, I means I am. And so when you say ego am I, which is the Greek form, I'm sure he said eia, which is the Hebrew meaning I am. But then even in the Greek form, the Holy Ghost put in that form, ego am I is saying I am. Or I, even I am. I, even I am. I. The stress is on the I because it's two places. It's not only fused with the word am, but it's a separate preposition put there. And interesting enough, I learned a while back that the word exousia, which is authority, parousia. Is means presence, para, beside, and usia, being, beside being. And he's going to come someday, and we call it the parousia. We're going to be beside him. But usia, ex-usia, is authority. And ex-usia is from ek, out of, and usia, am, out from am. And that word, am I, when it's I am, but when it's in the third person, it is usia. And the very word I am, in the other form, I'm I, means is the same as authority. It's the same as I am, and with the ek with it, out of, is out of I am, means authority. Ek, usia, out of I am, is authority. And we recognize who he is, and we bring this forth with authority over unclean spirits, because Jesus as to his deity, who said, I shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. What do you think Jesus is doing, baptizing people with the Holy Ghost? I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. He not only declares places to be the parakletos, which is the other word for advocate to the Father. Same thing is said to the Holy Spirit, but he also says, I will not leave you orphanos, I will not leave you orphans, or the Greek is fatherless, but I will be a father to you. I'll be the Holy Spirit to you. I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He has been baptized into Christ, he's put on Christ. And Jesus said, the scripture says, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll not speak of himself, but of Christ. But Christ said, I speak not of myself, only that which my Father gives me. And so in the final analysis, you see that God is giving forth his Spirit to his Son and to his sons that they might glorify him. And he ends up being the one who gives and gets, because he's the only one worth anything, because he's the Almighty One. And there is one Spirit. And so he is the Holy Spirit. In Greek sometimes it's called the Spirit the Holy. Spirit the Holy, pneuma, and the hagios, as holy as compared to kakos, which is evil or bad or unholy. So there's Spirit the Holy and Spirit the Unholy. And there are Spirit unholy ones. And we've got an unholy one and unholy ones. We're having a battle. And then we've got the Holy One. And the Holy One has given us out of his presence and out of his I am, his himself, and that's authority, is himself. His own I am spirit is our authority. And because authority is no more than the power you have to back it up, and the I am is plenty of power. And that's what he gave Moses when he went down to Egypt. And he gave him authority over those unclean to cast out unclean out of people who, so they won't be living unclean, so that the Holy Spirit can come in and Jesus would baptize them in the Holy Ghost, they might be clean, that they might live holy lives. And holy not only means that which is righteous, but it means separated unto God. It means given as an offering exclusively for God. And we are to live holy lives. Our lives are not our own. We're bought with a price and given exclusively for God. And I submit that we have power over unclean spirits. Now, he's not just talking about demon-possessed. The word demonized in Greek means, and as the scriptures, if you check it closely, is referring both to demon-possessed people and to demon-oppressed people. And there are many, many people that are demon-oppressed. And they have unclean spirits bothering their souls, haven't taken up residence in the spirit, don't own them, but there's a certain area and that you've turned over to them, and they're harassing you. But he has called us to be disciples, to sit at his feet, to emanate our master, to have him to be our hero, to believe in him, to receive from him, and go out and do likewise. That's what a disciple is. And then cast out these unclean spirits, that we might get more and more people who won't listen to Satan, and more who will listen to God. And every time Satan loses one, he's getting more and more defeated. And that's how God chooses to defeat Satan, is to have him standing over there, hawking his wares, and nobody paying any attention to him. To cast out and to heal all manner of sickness. There's a lot of sickness in the body. Because we have not discerned the Lord's body, there are many weak and sickly among you, the scripture says. Because we haven't discerned the Lord's body, many are weak and sickly. It did not mean we have not recognized that Jesus of Nazareth didn't have two arms and two legs. But he's talking about the spiritual body. He's talking about the universal body and the local body. Because he talks about the church of Ephesus, the church of Jerusalem, and then he talks about the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Ephesus is a part of the church of Jesus Christ. It is in all of it. The word church is ecclesia. Ek, again, meaning out of. Ecclesia means to from callo to call. I call out. We are the ones that have been called out. We start out and he called unto him 12 disciples. And many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are those who heed to the call. Everyone who's called, who heeds the call, is chosen. He's no respecter of persons. Whosoever will to the Lord may come when he calls. And if you come, he'll choose you. He can't choose you for his team if you don't come when he calls you. Now, he's given us power against all manner of sicknesses. There's a lot of sicknesses. And it says, and all manner of disease. Disease comes from two words, dis-ease. You're not at ease, you're at dis-ease. You're not balanced, somebody has unbalanced it. You have an unbalanced life. You had prayer, Bible study, and commitment to God, and evangelism, and witnessing, and all these things, and this side of the teeter-totter. And over here you had recreation, and you had the normal cares of life, and all this thing on the other side. And somebody has pushed some things off of the spiritual side, and you become at dis-ease. And there's a force that has pushed it off. There's a force that comes from below, that pushes. There's also an equalizing force that comes from above that tries to keep it level. And he becomes the candlestick man, so to speak, on the teeter-totter of life. And when we don't let the candlestick man, you ever had a candlestick man, the lamp? Candlestick man that do the balancing in the middle? Some of you are teeter-totter fans around here? If he can keep it balanced, even if that lug over there is heavier than that person. And sometimes you're a little bit lopsided. Well, if you let him, he can keep you balanced up. But you get it too lopsided, you don't let him, and all of a sudden, you get disease. That's what happens to the body. We don't rest enough. We worry too much, which is a poison. We smoke, which brings a poison into us. I hope we don't. And I hope we don't worry either. And fret ourselves. Stay up all hours of the night and everything else. The night cometh when no man can work, but man tries to find a way to make artificial light. So that God gave a real light, you know. But we make an artificial light so we can work all night too. And anyway, when the body is out of balance, when it's weak, then there are spirits that come in to take advantage of our weakness. And we get a disease. A living organism starts growing in you. Life. Something that's real, a virus that's living. And it's playing and eating up on you. You get a virus, and it's causing you trouble. There's demonic activities involved, part of the curse of man. And so God allowed these demon forces to take over when we align with them. This whole world is based, this whole system we're in, is depending on who we align with and how we align. You know, if you go out and align with a communist, you become a communist. If you align with the anarchist, you go that way. If you align with the right-wingers, you go that way. You can align with whosoever you will because you're a free moral agent. You can align with the Catholics, you can align with the Pentecostals. I mean, you can align with whoever your heart wants to go. And we're great creatures, you know, at rationalizing what we align with and to justify it and to be defensive for it. And Jesus said, no man can serve both God and mammon. And you have to either serve one or the other. You can't serve two opposite things and serve, and really serve them. I mean, properly serve them, what you call serve them. You either be for one against the other or vice versa. There are too many of us trying to go down the road, trying to be on this side and on this side of the fence, both sides at once. But God wants us to decide what country we're in, what citizenship we're of. We should let your citizenship be in heaven. The scripture says, let your conversation be in heaven. So I can't talk up there. Yes, you can. That's what you should be talking. It's up there. But the Greek means conversation. I mean, the Greek means your citizenship. It's your whole manner of life. Not just what you say, but what you do as well. Be walking in heavenly places, even while you're on the earth, is what he's telling us to do. So he wants to get rid of diseases, spiritual diseases. You know, God's people are at dis-ease. All over the world, they're at dis-ease. There's agitation within. There are forces within. Part of the curse of the earth, but we align with it. You align with your body, with the elements of this earth, and don't keep your body in balance, you get disease, and these evil forces come in. If you don't keep your mind in the right place, and you let your mind feel, and you watch all kinds of horror shows and everything else, or you get yourself in place, you're always suspicioning, your mind, the devil will come in and get your mind at dis-ease. And spiritually, you don't walk with God, you look out after and start going into transcendental meditation, and you start looking, waiting for all kinds of strange, familiar spirits to bring you knowledge and stare at candles and meditate and through Ouija boards and everything else, then you're going to get spiritually messed up. These demons will come and mess you up in a spiritual area. It doesn't make any difference what area it's in. Demons can't do anything with anything unless they can twist the truth. They can't deal with light. They can't deal with truth unless they twist it a bit. And if you come in line with them, they have a perfect right to come and to work on you. We are living in a world that's sin-cursed. We are of the world, in the world, but not of the world. If we decide to be of the world, then the curse of the world applies to us, and then we get the effects of the world. We take their philosophy, we dress like them, we live like them, you're going to act like them. There's no way that you can watch the world through constant television and movies and the magazines and listen to their sounds and the music and not become affected and become like them. If you align yourself with the world, then the world's going to come into you and you're going to develop an appetite for the world. Indian girls down at Tohola, they eat fish heads and so forth until they love fish heads and fish eyes and all the rest. Those down in Java, they eat bat's eyes, cook them and eat bat's eyes, pop them in the mouth like grapes. Yeah, those in China someplace, they take little white mice and dip them in honey and put them down when they're still kicking. Down in South America, these are all stories I know of now, all true. Scouts on them. Down in Amazon, shoot a monkey, drop out of the tree, pick him up, throw him on top of a fire like that. No frying pan, just the skin and all. Don't even take the entrails out. And get them good and black on one side, yank them out, and start eating. I have missionaries tell me all these things. You develop an appetite for certain things. When a missionary goes down there into Indonesia, food's so hot, he takes out and he puts it under the table. He can't stand it. After 7 years in Indonesia, he comes to the United States, and he can't stand it. He gets hungry for Indonesian food. And you see, you start, I don't care how hot or pepper, cigarettes are like biting cigarettes, you know, in your eyes and everything else. People develop a habit so they can't live without them. Although in the natural, for a natural man, you can't stand that smoke. But you become an unnatural man. You take that first glass of whiskey, it doesn't taste like orange juice. It about burns you out, pipes out, going around the corners. It's strong, icky stuff. But after a while, you've got to have your drink all day long. You become unnatural. You can do that in every area of life. The devil has come to make us unnatural. God has come to make us supernatural. We have our choice. We go out in this world, if we will follow the darkness, we will be in trouble. We'll drop into every snare, every pothole the devil has for us. But Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. If you decide not to be of the world, you can walk in this world, and it will not hurt you. It will vex your righteous soul from day to day, like Lot in Sodom, but you will walk above it, like Jesus did. And then Satan will find no place to put his niche in you. And he said, the prince of the world cometh and findeth nothing in me. And so when Satan comes to you, you can turn to him and say, you have no place in me. I don't give you any place. And if I don't give you any place, you don't get a sandwich from me. Go on your way. See, he comes begging around your house, you send him on your way. Throw the book at him. Sure. This is a real world we're living in, my friends. These things apply. A real world. See, oh, you get all this strange stuff. No, that is part of the real world. You see, we're living in an atomic world. We're living in a world with electrons and protons and mesons and neutrons. Yes, we are, aren't we? We're living in a microcosmic world. We're living in a sound with X-rays and Y-rays and ultraviolet lights and infrared light. We're living in a strange world where sounds and pictures go through the air and pick up on sets that people watch somebody around the world do something. We're living in a world where there's spiritual, where there's unseen things, where there's forces that come against us. We're dealing with principalities and powers in high places. And the force of God himself, who's the creator of heaven and earth. We're strangely standing on a ball that's 25,000 miles in circumference, that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour. And we don't fly off. Yes, some of us are standing upside down, down at the bottom like this, and we're going around, at high speeds, upside down, 1,000 miles an hour. Yes, and there is trees go downward and rain falls up. We live in a strange world, but it's true. We can convert energy to matter, and matter to energy. Don't think we're not living in a strange world. We find ourselves alive and here and thinking and inventing and with abilities and all of that. We're here, and we're here for a purpose. We've got to be here for a purpose. We have got to come to grips with who we are, where we came from, and where we're going. We've got to come to find out the principles spill. We can't just blunder along in the darkness, be caught in every web of life, every spider injects his evil venom in us. Go through life like that. I submit we have to rise up to full sonship and realize that we're pilgrims and strangers here. We're from another place. We haven't been there yet, but we're from another place. Because we're born from above. That's the place where we came from. When we get there, we're going to be home. Sure, a lot of people come to Jesus and say, I feel like I just came home when I came in here. Sure, there's something that bear witness within. We all the Ben Elohim. We all the sons of God. Now ye all the sons of God. And we're living in a world. But God has called us and he says, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And, you know, at first it says, well, sure, you know, that's fine for you to say. You've overcome the world. I'm supposed to be in good cheer because you overcame the world? Absolutely, because you've got my exousia. I gave you the power of attorney to use my name. Whatsoever you use my name, in my name, it shall be done. In my name, it shall be done. And so the demons, when we say in the name of Jesus, they say, Jesus, I know. Yeah, Jesus, I know. Now, the scriptures teaches us. I can pick it out of verse 1. I was going to read the whole chapter. I won't tonight. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles or the nations, or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go out yet. It's not time for the nations. They won't even hear the word until there has to be an established, called-out church. The Old Testament church has to come into being with a new covenant. We can't live in the old covenant. God's giving us a new covenant. There has to be a people of his name. There has to be go out from. First of all, bring this to Israel, to those who are of the seed of Abraham. But not only because of the covenant I made with Abraham, but also because there has to be a central base in which there is representing something to go out from. Otherwise, you go out not representing anything from nowhere with some strange doctrine. The nation's not going to hear you. They're going to put you in a pit and sell you out there someplace. And so today, God has called us not just to the nations, although he has done that, but he's calling us to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus saw them out there and said he saw them like sheep scattered over the hills without a shepherd. And so when one comes into the fold, what does he say about them? All the angels in heaven rejoice over one lost sheep come back into the fold. Lost. Lost. And so we're lost. The people that were lost, God's people, but lost. Coming back into the fold, coming into the place where they're protected when the night falls, where they're with the sheep. And God has called us to go out to the churches. And there are many of them out there. There are many of them out there that are lost. The lost house of Israel. They come from those who are the covenant people of God, but they're lost, many of them. They're not walking with God. They're without a shepherd. And he said, would you go preach? Preach. And proclaim the good news, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Saying that there's a king. And this king has a kingdom. He's got a place in which the king reigns with his spectators around. And he has servants there. And this dome is the dome of heaven. He's in heaven. He's not down here. His kingdom is up there. And our citizenship is up there. We're just pilgrims and strangers journeying downhill. It's at hand. It's right at my right hand. And we have pleasures at his right hand forevermore. You know, he is right at his right hand. He dispenses out of his hand to us. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. What's the difference? Lepers are sick people. Why say it twice? Lepers are those who represent sin and false doctrine. Because the scripture tells us that, it tells us in some places, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of the false doctrine. And he tells us false doctrine. He also tells us that it represents sin. And we have people out there with false doctrine and people in sin. But the leper stands up and he says, when the people walk by, he says, by the law, unclean, unclean. so nobody will come and accidentally touch him and defile themselves. So they can walk by and not stand on the ground that he has stood, because he is unclean. He is ceremonially unclean, but more than that, he is physically unclean. And he is legally unclean. And so God says to keep yourself a separated people. Go out and touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch the sinner out there. There are no girls in this assembly. Not very many, unfortunately. But they get tired of being without a date. And so they go out and touch the unclean. They go to have dates with those that are, and unequally yoke themselves together. Like an ass with an ox. And the Bible says, don't unequally yoke yourselves together. You can't pull at the same rate in that marriage. You'll never have a good marriage, my friend, in a situation like that. Your ass and an ox have a different spirit. And you won't behave the same way, and you can't pull together right. Two asses can pull that way toward hell, and two oxen can pull this way toward heaven. But an ass and an ox together are trying to... Two asses can pull that way toward hell, and two oxen can pull this way toward heaven. But an ass and an ox together are trying to pull opposite ways. One's charging and going to go, one's steady and plodding. They can't do the same. They can't live the same. And he says, don't do it. Touch not the unclean. Have no fellowship. Count them as a publican and a sinner. Put them out of the church. Have nothing to do with them. But we're out there hobnobbing with the world. Buddy, buddy, go out and do all these things together. And so they're unclean, unclean. He says, come out from them and be a clean people, that you be not partakers of their deeds, of their partakers of their judgments. Come out from Babylon, my people. What's Babylon? From the Tower of Babel. What's that mean? Babbling. Why? Because he confused their tongues. Why? Because they were trying to collect people to build a world government with a religion at the top, a false religion. And so he confused their tongues. And all they try to talk and communicate, all they're doing is babbling. And that's what we got out here, babbling voices. Babbling. And you know, there's a certain things in the necromancy, there's a term they use called babblings. Babblings from evil spirits. And that's what they're doing. They're babbling out there. Many different voices. That's what Babylon, you know, every speckled bird, the scripture says. Become the cage of every hateful and speckled bird. They're speckled birds. They're hateful. The kingdom of God is like a mustard tree that grows up and is filled with the birds of the air. Not birds of the field. Not the partridge and not the grouse and not the pheasant and not those birds of the field that eat grain from the bread of heaven. But rather those that are carrying, got curved beaks so they can hook into somebody. They got talons that can dig into them. They are those which go out and eat filth and rodents and now those disease things. And then they come and try to catch a rabbit or something running for his hole and latch upon him. Tear him to pieces. There are those kind out here of tearing people to pieces, ripping the people to pieces with that tongue set on fire from hell and that fork, that beak, and put the claws in them. They're tearing type. They're destroying type. They're destructive type. And so the kingdom of God is like that, filled with every hateful bird, with the birds of the air, circling about hunting for prey. Jesus said right in this chapter that men, beware of men. Yeah, beware of men. Beware of them. They're going to do you evil. Kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net. We go out in our boats and we're fishing. We throw the net over and we get good, clean fish and we get unclean fish. Clean and unclean. We draw them in. They come in and sit side by side in assembly. But, he says, you're going to have to throw away the unclean. Not going to keep them. We're going to only keep the clean. God's not going to keep you if you're unclean. You may be sitting in the kingdom of heaven, but you're not a servant of God. Why call ye me master and obey not my commandments? If we don't obey his commandments, then we're not his servants. If we don't love him, we're not his servants. If we don't obey him, we don't love him. Oh, I don't mean if we never make a mistake, we don't love him. But don't be too sure of our love. For many of us we have like Peter, we have denied the Lord. We have denied him in our hearts. We have denied him in our minds. We've denied him in the very sins we've gone into. And he said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in that day. And many of you are ashamed out in your jobs of Jesus. Shame on you for being ashamed of him. Because he'll be ashamed of you. And you ain't standing that day, you want to be ashamed of you. He writes your paycheck. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. And so Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. He told us to go out and cleanse those people. We go up to them. They say, unclean. We say, I know it. That's when I'm coming to lay hands on you and rebuke that uncleanness and that leper, that you become healed, that your sin be taken away. We're going to come and take your false doctrine away from you and your sin away in the name of Jesus, that you might be whole, that the skin might come back up on your whole. What happens when the skin's off of the body? Then it is not only unlovely, but it is not, doesn't have one covering. It no longer has the covering. It can't keep out germs and disease. That's what's happened to the body of Christ. It needs a covering. Christ is our covering. Christ is our propitiation, the scripture says, which means covering. That's the same for the big golden slab out of which they beat also the mercy seat, cherubim on the mercy seat. It's our propitiation. It hides us in the law that was in the Ark of the Covenant, that because all the law can do is condemn us. But we came to a mercy seat. But we had to take the priest had to take the blood of the lamb in there. And he had to take incense for the prayers of the saints. And he had to speak the inevitable name in the name of Yahweh, in the name of Jesus, who is Yahweh the Savior. We have to come in and speak that name. And then his Shekinah glory comes off. And he forgives us. And his light that he gives us, that supernatural light, lets us know that God is here. We're not just praying to some stone Buddha someplace. We're praying to the Almighty when that lights up our souls in life. And he does indeed forgive us. So we have to come in by that way. And he says to cleanse them. But he says to heal, raise the dead. You know, there are many dead people. Yes, some of them may be here today, sitting in the pews. Is there a dead one next to you? You know what I said about Lazarus, after dead 4 days? You know what he was like? That's the way it is like sometimes. Some people like that. They've been dead longer than that. And you can tell it. That's right. Their whole life you can tell it. But oh, how much different it is when they're made alive again. Awake from the dead, O thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you life, the scripture says. He said, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Come to the waters and buy without price, without money, the scripture says. Wine and milk. Milk of the word and rejoice. Wine of rejoicing. He's the bread of heaven that's come down free. The manna that fell in the wilderness. Every day you have to take it up fresh. You can't just take it one day and save it all up for the next Sabbath. It won't work. Won't work. Freely you have received, freely give. The water runs freely into the lake of Galilee, that it went out the other side. And then it waters the whole Jordan Valley and there's lots of crops. But if you don't freely give, you're like the Dead Sea. You freely get Galilee, Sea of Galilee, and from all of the tributaries, but you don't freely give, and so you become a dead sea, salt sea. You become a sea that has no life-giving properties because you're not giving. And so he tells us, I'm going to have to skip a little bit here. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. See, I know there's wolves out there. And I know you're going as sheep. But if I send you out as sheep among wolves, you better know that that is an unnatural situation. Because you are not supposed to be like them. And he says, don't put on a wolf's mask when you go out to the world, you sheepies. That's what he said. Romans 12:2. Be ye not conformed to this world. Be not metaskos metizo. Be not outwardly changed to hide that true inward nature. You are born from above. A light that's set on a city set in a hill cannot be hidden. Nobody puts a lamp under a bushel basket. Doesn't make sense. We got a lot of bushel baskets floating around the street here, with lights gleaming out from the bottom of them. Yeah, I've seen them all over. All these bushel baskets going on. And where are you going, Mr. Bushel Basket? Oh, I'm going to church. Well, why you got that basket on? I'm going to take it off when I get to church. I've been out job all day long and got along wonderfully. Nobody even knew that I was a Christian. Nobody even knew I had any light. I kept it covered all day long. And so everybody out there was stumbling all over the place and bumping into stuff and falling into pits, and none of them could see because I kept my light here. And so they didn't know that I had light that would cause them to see. I got along wonderfully because nobody saw my light. It didn't cause them to see that there was a difference. So they couldn't get mad at me if they didn't see the difference. He says, be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed. Be ye carried over, transformed. Be ye metamorphomai. Be ye outwardly changed to reflect the new inward nature. What nature? There's deity within. Jesus was metamorphomai on the mountain. Reflect the deity. Let the light shine out. He that walketh in dark light, I am the light of the world. He that walketh in the light shall not walk in darkness. You can walk in the glow that's all about you during the daytime, and you're not walking in the darkness, though you're walking in the darkness of night and in the light and in the darkness of the world. Yet there's a lamp unto your footpath. My word is a lamp unto your footpath, the scripture says. Thy word is a lamp unto my footpath. I send you forth as sheep among wolves, and I'm going to protect you so the wolves won't get you. Keep looking like sheep, but watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. They may look good, but if they don't smell good, watch out. If they smell like wolves, there's something wrong. Oh, yeah, they may rear up churches. They may be pastors, and they may do all kinds of things and all kinds of names. The things they say may look pretty good, but you better take a whiff or two. Get upwind from them, and find out what they're like. Downwind, I guess it is. Be ye therefore, and whenever you say what therefore, be sure to see what it's there for. Be ye therefore wise. Wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Be wise. Be wise. Coil yourself. Don't just go out there, you know, banging your drum. Don't cast your pearls before swine. They're not going to mean anything. They're going to trample them in the ground and rend you. They don't appreciate pearls. Hogs out there don't appreciate pearls. But be harmless like doves. Don't hurt anybody, but you be wise like a serpent. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and so forth. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what to speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Yes. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up their parents and cause them to be put to death. Yes, you find out there are people, you come in here, and your parents are against you. When I was a boy, the main thing was, what are we going to do with those kids? But today is, what are we going to do with the parents? You know, the parents are upset because you're walking with Jesus. Used to be the parents were upset because the kids weren't walking with Jesus. But back and forth in all directions. And if they, you know what those parents try to do? Put the kids to death. They come to life, they try to take out of them and put them to death. They try to kill all the life of Jesus. One of them said, if you don't give up Jesus, who is the life and the way and the truth, the life, if you don't give up Jesus, the life, and come into this death, dead in trespasses and sins, you're going to have to leave my house because my house is a house of death. You can't go in that house of life. I don't want life in my house of death. And the person left. And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake. Beware when the world speaks all good of you, the scripture says, you know. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That means there is something to endure. It means there is an end. There is an end to the valley, my friend. When you come out of the valley, you'll know whether you're saved or not. But he walks with us to the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil, for his rod and his staff is our comfort, and he's with us, and he keeps us in the presence of our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil, and our cup runneth over. And because of all of this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And besides that, plus, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. I think we have a lot to be thankful for today, don't you? I think we ought to realize who we are. And I think we ought to rise to full privilege and walk in the light and keep away from the darkness and beware of wolves and let our light shine because we're looking for that day in which we should dwell with Him forevermore.